Today is Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Baba Kama, 10th Perek, Agozel Umachil, and the year is Topshin Samachtet, I forgot to mention that. And it's the 15th day of the Omer. We are holding by the Mishnah on Kuf Tet Zayin Omud Beit. The Halak Mishnah begins, Agozel Sademichaveiro Netaluhu Masikim. Someone stole a field and came along now, the people, either from the government or from the mafia, but they stole the field from the gun. Imbakat bedinahi, if everybody anyway was affected in the same way by the government and the invading force, so then omer la reshachalafanecha, because it has nothing to do with my having stolen it. Here's your field. It's exactly what it would have been in any circumstances anyway. But imachmata gazlan, we'll see what that means. If it's that which was caused by the fact that he stole it, that's what it seems to be saying. So then chayav la midlo sadeh acher, in that case he is responsible for the field. First, the language. Omer Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak, some have the language masikin in the Mishnah, as we have. So you should know that mandatani masikin, unquote, lo mishtabesh. That's not a mistake. But there are others who are gurus in the Mishnah, instead of masikin, masikin, with a sadik. Also lo mishtabesh. And I'll explain to you why. Mandatani masikin lo mishtabesh, because the Torah uses that word, ba matzor u ba matzok. So clearly matzok is a lashon putting you in a hard place. We would say nowadays between a rock and a hard place, which is what a tzuk would be. Manatani masikin, also lo mishtabesh, because we translate the words yirash hamitatzlatzal, where we're talking about over there, disaster overtaking you through locusts, betargamina yachsenine saka'a. So the saka'a will wipe it out. So when we refer to these Cossacks as locusts, it's a very reasonable way to refer to them, and that's what we're calling masikin. Imach mata gazlan chayav. If it's because of the gazlan, then you're chayav. Well, what does that mean, because of the gazlan? I mean, if you're all you're trying to say is meyechida, ilema di ansua li ara di day velo ansua kule arata. Is it that the only one that they went after was this guy, and since he had stolen another person's field? So because of that, they took that field, believing it was his. So then, enochinami, it's entirely his fault. But we know that. We don't need that in the Mishnah. We knew that from the Reisha. I mean, Reisha Shamat Bina. The only reason we potted him was where it was a makat bedina. But if not, then it's not. So what do you have to say? I mean, we have to keep talking. And tell me both sides. You said, if it's a makat bedina. I mean, obviously, if they're only going after him, it's not a makat bedina. So it's clear from the Mishnah that he would not be potted. Lo tzricha, this therefore must be a different case entirely. The case where it says imach matam agazlan means, or if the gazlan became a gazlan through having given over the field of another Jew to the Masikid. That's the point. He let them know, you know, there's a great field available. These Jews, they have they control all the best money, all the best lands. Because of him, they took it. So this would be the Mishnah of Moser, through showing a field of a Jew to the Masikim. So, lo tzricha de achve achvuye, lishna achri, no? Another lashon has it like this, achma eskina, kegon di ansuhu aku, ve'amr le achvuye arate. So he was now put under pressure by goyim, and said, show us where the best land is. Ve'achve achvuye goes ahead, and he indeed shows this one, be'adayim. So there, where they wanted him to show him his land, he shows this land, over there he would be chayav. Now we'll see, in general, whether an anas, that wasn't forcing him to give his land, whether that would be chayav or not. So there was ahu gavad, the achvi, akari, the chiti, the verish galuta. There was a man who pointed out to the IRS, or shouldn't say the IRS, because that's not quite masikin, still have law and order. But he shows over to these goyim, he shows a grain pile of the Reish Galuta. And the Reish Galuta took him to the Bezdin of Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman was Mechayev, the man to pay. Chivei Reb Nachman the Shalumi. Now, Reb Yosef was sitting in that courtroom behind Reb Huna Bar Chiya. Reb Huna Bar Chiya was in the row in front of Reb Nachman. Remember, they had seven rows in front of the court, but they would be able to watch Law and Order every day. They didn't have a direct broadcasting, but this way they would be able to ask questions and so on. So he was there. So Reb Huna Bar Chiya asked Reb Nachman, after he paskened, Is that a din or is that a knas? In other words, was this a halacha straight out, which is like a din of garmi, that since he was garim directly, the loss of the field, or in this case the chitim, you're paskening straight out a chiev of mammon, or do you feel that you need to apply for the tikkun of society, a knas against this man because it may become habitual or because you know the situation? Or Malaya, what are you asking? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Imach mata gazlan, chayav la'abid lo sadeh acher, and we said, v'ukinna deach v'yachvet. That the case is that that's considered to be an act of gzela. So clearly it's a din. The Mishnah is telling you that pointing out a field is an act of gzela. But in enough, Rabbi Yosef, who was sitting in the second row behind Rabbuna Bar Chiya, was not going to ask in front of Rav Nachman. But after Rav Nachman left, he asked Rabbuna Bar Chiya, "What's the difference, actually? Why were you asking whether it was a dina or whether it was a knasa?" It's a tremendous difference, obviously. I mean, if it's a din, so then gamrina mine. If it's a knas, if it's a din, so then this is a principle that's applicable all over. I mean, if it's just a knas, so I wouldn't be able to apply it somewhere else. Lo gamrina mine, then it's very unique to the circumstances. How do we know that we don't have a right to apply a principle of a knas that a court has used to apply it as a precedent? Well, I'll tell you very clearly, Tanya. They were koveya that hamitabe. Somebody goes in, and a friend has taharot. And he goes and he's mitame them now, so that they're not usable anymore. Say, I mean, it was a truma, and he did this to the truma, it would be a disaster. Or he is minaseh. He takes the wine of his friend, and he pours it out to avodat kochavim. Neither of these cases is the hezek nikar, and the quantum physicist finds no difference between the two things. And nonetheless, we're mechayev. Chazru lomar, at a later date, they changed their mind, and they said, you know what? The same thing would be true of a midameya, where somebody mixes up chulin and truma. So now he has lowered the value of the chulin, which before had a wide open market, it can now be sold only to kohanim. Now, I mean, if it was a principle that Hezek Shein Nikar we're going to be kainis yuan, so why in the world wouldn't it extend it automatically by precedent or by concept directly to the midameya? Why do you need to say chazru dafka because they reopened the issue and they added this case below chazru lo? You wouldn't have had a right to apply the same knas, we're assuming it is, of the cases of the midameya and the minaseh to the midameya. Obviously, it must be because my time allowed me to be the knasa logam rina mine. So, well, no. So that's not why. It's because the cases are innately different, you see. Me kore saver lefsed meruba chashu lefsed muad lo chashu. I mean, a midameya is not damage in the sense that it destroys your use. It lowers the market because now you have to sell only to kohanim. All right, maybe there's a sucker board every moment among kohanim too, you know. So it's not, certainly not a significant loss of destroying the other guy's wine or making the truma useless, right? So therefore, they said, maybe in a case of a hefsek mu'at, there's no hakpada that we should make a knas. So maybe the chazru lomar was a real change of concept. But in a case where a knas is straight out the same thing, then edachinami, maybe you could apply one to another. No, wait a minute. That can't be what the thoughts were over there, because any? But tani avud rabbi avin. I mean, the way Rav Avin says the history of this knas was that Barishana Yomrim Hamitameva Midameya. Actually, originally they had left out Minaseh, you see, and then Chazrulo Marafa Minaseh, which means that they had the Efsed Muat case initially up front over there, the Midameya together with the Mitameh, and then they added a case which was even worse. I mean, so why in the world didn't they think Lechatchila to include a Minaseh? Apparently because it's all circumstances. You need to take into consideration. How much of a social issue is it? I mean, how likely is it that it's going to happen, et cetera, et cetera. And only Chazru Lomar, even the monastics, they see clearly that only because Chazru, but lo Chazru, it's not innate in the original class that we include a monastic. My time, I mean, what explanation could there be for such a thing? It must be Mishon. The logam rinan miknasa. You cannot derive a knas from another knas. And there needed to be another yeshivat beitin to be Chazru Lomar. So you see that indeed from here that we don't apply knas to knas. It was a good riot. No, not necessarily. Still not a good riot. Because it may be that there was a very important contextual change. Maybe lechatchila mikar sevek rabavin. Olavasov Savik Rabbi Yirmiya, and the issue of here was, the, as we'll see in a moment, not the question of the applicability of the Knas, but whether the Menasek would be chai of anything because of Kamei Ben Rabbeinu, he's chai of Avodah Zarah, in pouring out something to Avodah Zarah. So what's the question? The question is this. Mikoris Savik Rabbi Avinam Rabbi Avin. Zorak Chetz B'tchilat Arba L'Sof Arba V'Karat Shira In Da'ali Chato Patur Sha'ari Akira Tzorach Anachai U'mitchayev B'nafsho. So there he said, let's say somebody shoots an arrow, four amod b'rishut harapim, and in the middle of the path of the arrow is somebody's beautiful coat hanging on a line to dry, and he tears it with the arrow. So the halach is his potter, because the entire thing is all one act of hotza'ah. As we know, akira and the hotza'ah, the hanocha, is all the definition of hotza'ah. Therefore, is mitchayev b'nafsho. The menaseh, as he's pouring it out of avodat kochavim, is mitchayev b'nafsho. So he should be potter by extension of Rav Avin's principle. And why were they chozru lomar that even a menaseh would be chayev? Ah, that's interesting, that the sof savik of Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah taided that Misha'at Hagaba'a, Kanye, since his intent was to be Menasech. So the moment he picks it up, he's basically stealing it before he did the Nisa. Because he's taking this never to have the other person be able to use it again. So at that point, he became Chayev before he even did the Yisa. He Chayev Le Mama. But Mit Chayev Ben Afshar, what point did he become Chayev Mita? Only Lohavi Atcha'at Nisuch, until he does the actual act. So therefore, chozru lomar, but nothing to do with the question of whether we have a right to apply a principle of a knas to another case. Ravuna bar Yehuda ikla levei aviyuni. Ravuna bar Yehuda came to this nanitan, Otelakame, that's the name of a place, Otelakame de Rava, or Marlei. So when he came to Rava, there's always exciting things going on when you travel, you know. So was there something exciting that went on in aviyuni? There was indeed. We had an interesting case over there of a Yisrael who Goyim forced to be Mare Mamon Chavero. So that was Baliyadi. And I said he had to pay. Omar Lei, so Rava said to him, well, better go give it back. Because he made a mistake. Titania Yisrael Sha'ansuhu of De Kochavi. If he was forced by Goyim, Vera Mamon Chavero is pot. And it's only im natav natan biyad is chayav. So he has to actually pick it up and hand it over. Then in the case of ones, he would be chayav. But if he just responded to the pressure, and they were not to save himself money, but because he was in a state of about to be tortured until he gave it over, he's patur. It's actually a machlokus whether the case of Natan v'Natal b'yad is a general halacha or it's like even in the case of Ones, which then you'd have to explain the whole sugya differently. But Rashi learns it the way that I've just described it. L'chora. I mean, there's another gears in Rashi in the Rif. But so, Omar Rabba. This gears is also a problem. Rab as opposed to Rava, because here it says imehera me'atzbekenasav v'Natan b'yad dami, which is essentially if without any Ones he pointed it out. So then it would be the equivalent of Nosev Enotim Biyad. This is the problem. I mean, so that means that if you pointed it out, Miatma means there was no Ones. So then, what do you mean? That's Mashma, that before we were saying that Nosev Enotim Biyad would be Chayev even in Ones. So what are you telling me that if without an Ones, we always knew that? Okay, so again, there's a question what the Chiddushin of the two cases are. So some learn that in Ochinami, without Ones, even Hera. So it's therefore, it says this case to tell me that you're chayev without Ones. In the other case, with Ones, you're chayev as if you're Nosev Enotim. I mean, he's just saying that you should know, without Ones, it's the equivalent of handing it over. But that doesn't mean that you wouldn't be chayev in the case of Ones also. Okay, so it was a maisa where they forced a man to be achve, achamra, and he went in and he showed them Rav Mori, Bereder, Pinchas, Bereder of Chistas wine, and they took it. Then, when they're carrying it, they say to the Jew, hey, Jew, well, we got to carry this. You carry it. So, Amalei, Dirim Amtibadda, you carry it before us. So, he went there, Adarvi Amtibadda, so he carried it. Out to the Kamina Ravashi. So, they brought the din to Ravashi. Ramari Brother Pilchas came. And Ravashi says, he's potter. So, Rabbanan said to Ravashi, I thought it says, him not Savinatan Biyad Chayav, even though in this case was an honest. But you said, if he actually does the mice, he's Chayav. Amalei, he says, the guy's got to learn to think. The Nasav Natan Biyad obviously is only where the act of the Mesirah was Biyad. Over here, first he showed the wine. At that moment, it's over. Now the wine might as well have been blown up. Now it's a separate Maisa. Now you have Goyim forcing a Jew to do work. What does that have to do with the original Mesirah? You're putting the two together. There's no connection. So in this case, where do we say your chayav yinasav natan? That's where the act of the Mesirah was handing it over. In a case where initially they already knew about it, because he showed it to them. At that instant, for all intents and purposes, he exploded the wine. Now he burned it up. There's nothing left. Once it was given over to the goyim, it's ruined. They've taken it, whether they have or not, but it's no longer going to be anything for the owner. But he's potter on that because he was an owner. And then after that, whatever happened, happened. Who cares? Eitei Rabbi Avuda Rav Ashi. Amarlo Anas. How do you explain this? It says, if the Anas said, hand me over, Bekia Amirze, or Eshkola Navimze, hand me over that from that Jew's field. Give me over this tied up piece of, pile of grain. Or, give me over that, a bunch of grapes. And he hands it over to him. So in that case, he's chayev. Why is he chayev? If the guy already knows about it, so then he's only doing a job. So he's forcing a Jew to do a job, but he didn't do the act of Mesirah. Ah, no, he said, that case he is doing the act of Mesirah, because it's clearly talking about. There are two different sides, the banks of a river. The guy can't reach it on his own. And look at the Lashon, the economy. Why say, oh, sheet, hand that over to me. He doesn't say, give me. He says, hand it over, which means that I can't reach it. So then that means that, that was the actual Mesirah, not just the job. Shema mina, that indeed that was a Mesirah of Nestina Biyad. There was a trap that two people have been arguing about for a long time. Hi Amr Didiu, Hi Amr Didiu. So everybody had their, but the case hadn't come to court. One of them comes and gives it over to the IRS. So the other guy wants him to pay. Why should he pay? He could say, I've been saying for years this was mine. So I gave it to the IRS. Aha. Now you have a problem, and you go deal with the government and claim that it was somebody else's. So obviously it would be a lot easier for this guy to give it over to the IRS than to take the other person to court. Let him take the IRS to court. So the guy had a brilliant idea. Because it can't be Machayvi as a Meiser because it's my own money I've been claiming. Fantastic idea. So Omer Abaye, says, indeed, Yachol Omar, it's true, I did give it, but Adaki Masi Didi Masi gave him over my own thing. Omer Le Rava, that's outrageous. Okamine, how can he do that? I don't understand. He hasn't established that it's his. That's all we need, is that anybody who's got a problem in court should go claim, well, I said it's mine, so therefore I'll use it to pay my taxes. What kind of mishigas is that? Therefore, on the contrary, I say, El Omer Rava, Mishamtina Le, we put the guy into neither. Let him bring it back to court. I don't care what it's going to cost him to get it back from the IRS. That's his problem. And let him koi bedina, which the Peskim are medayik, that even if he deposits a bond and he says, look, here's the money. If it turns out that it really wasn't mine, let him take the bond. That's not enough. We don't want this behavior to continue. You need to buy it back, bring it into court, and now we'll deal with it. But you can't go ahead and give in yet. There was a guy that had made an appointment that he was going to show a guy another person's tevin. So the guy brings him to Rav's bestin. So Rav says to him, I'm telling you right now, don't you dare. So the guy says, try me. I'm going to do it, I'm telling you right now, Machvino, Machvino, oh boy, am I going to show this great. Rav Kahana is sitting there, Yotav Rav Kahana Kabeh Darav, and he gets up and pulls the guy's head off. Shamtei Lekuim, and he breaks his neck, kills him. Because the din is that a meiser you kill. They used to actually do this in Europe. They used to tie guys up in bags and throw them in the river. They never do this. Yeah, but in Europe. Yes, so, Kori Rav Aluye. So Rav says, you see, it says indeed in the Pasuk, Banayich Ufu Shukhvu Barosh Kochutzot, there are your children, fainted, dying in all of the alleyways Kitol michmar, amaleim chamat Hashem. There they are, like a toe. What is a toe? A toe is a wild ox. So what's the pasuk saying? They're just like a toe. Ma toe ze kivet shenafa b'michmar. Once it's fallen into the trap, ein merachamim alav. What do you think people are going to let it go? So af mamon. Same thing is true over here. A mamon of Yisroel. Once it's enough to be out of deko chavim, ein merachamim alav. So because of that, for sure, this guy's a meiser, and therefore, it was good you killed him. But, said Rav Kahana, Ada Idna, Havik Parsi, look after Shvichas Domin. I mean, look, the people in charge of this country used to be the Iranians. The Iranians are a bunch of murderers, and they don't care about murder, so we can get away with murder. This is like in Europe, but the government's going to come after a Jew, killed a Jew. Oh, the Jews are Jews. Who cares? They killed a Jew. Now we've got these bleeding heart Greek liberals, Ashrika Yevani. And then they make always big deal murder. They're crying, murder. The Qatar Shrika is talking about murdering, murdering. So because of that, you're in big trouble. The government doesn't like murder anymore. It doesn't matter that Mitzad Adin, you did the right thing. So Kum Sak La'arad Yisrael. I suggest that you escape immediately to Eretz Yisrael, but you have to be mekabel on yourself. Mekabel alecha delo tikshel Rav Yochanan sheva shnin. You've got to be mekabel on yourself that you're not going to ask any questions for Rav Yochanan for 7 years. So this was, the Mefarshim say that there were elements that required kapora for him for killing the guy because of the way he killed him, and maybe he could have stopped it. So this is your kapora. You're going to have to sit there and know all these kashas on Rav Yochanan, and you can't open your mouth. Okay. So Azalashkila Reish Lakish, he comes and he walks into the Beit HaMidrash while Reish Lakish is going over the shir. Reish Lakish used to explain that day's shir. So the Yatev Messiah Matifta de Yume, he was giving over that day's learning to the Rabbanan in detail. Rav Yochanan used to say a very, very condensed shir. And Reish Lakish spent the afternoon explaining the shir to all of the yeshiva. So Rav Kahana was listening to the shir, and he knew that there was a famous guy, Reish Lakish. So he says, where's this famous guy, Reish Lakish? Echa. Why do you need to see Reish Lakish? He says, the shir didn't make any sense. I kusha, I piruka. I mean, he's got this, woof. That was, oh boy. So Reish Lakish, they went and told Reish Lakish over this guy's kashas. Reish Lakish goes to Rav Yochanan. Also, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, listen, we're in big trouble. Ari alami bavo. There's a lion out there. And I warn you, la'ayin marbe metifte delamacher. You better give a darn good shear tomorrow because this guy's going to tear you to pieces. I mean, he's a lion. Okay, so lamacher, the next day, remember that they sat everyone in according to their capabilities. They sit him right on front. They figure this is going to be fun. And, the whole stadium is filled. What's this guy going to do to Rav Yochanan? So they put him in the dark kami right in front of Rav Yochanan. So, okay, he's in trouble because he can't ask Rav Yochanan anyway. So Rav Yochanan says over his first part. He says, Shmai Tzit, lo aksha. God doesn't say anything. He says over the next one. Again, lo aksha. Now every time he misses a question, they put him back a row. So they put him back 7 rows. He's finally sitting in the back of the room. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, your lion has turned out to be a toothless fox. Ari, your big lion, Shamarta, Naaseh Shu'al. The Rav Kahana couldn't take it. I can't take it. He says, may it be your will, O God, that these 7 rows should be the 7 years, because I can't go on. That's it. Rava, dahani sheva dare, lavi chilov sheva shanim damerli rav. So he stands up, kamakar, and he says, could you try that again? Nahadar marbaresha. So he starts asking. Amrish Maitza, Aksha. Anyway, he keeps knocking out Rav Yochanan, and he's finally moved up to the first row. But he's not finished. So Rav Yochanan keeps going. Amrish Maitza, Va'aksha. Now, Rav Yochanan, at the beginning of the shir, because of his chashivut, was sitting on 7 layers of these cushions. So when he got to the first question, they pulled out cushion number 1. Gets out to the next question, they pull out cushion number 2. This is amazing. No, it is serious stuff. You know, you don't get a position because you know that you were appointed by the chief rabbi. So they pull out cushion by cushion until the shafer chada b'start. For every question, they pull out one cushion mitote. Amar Shmaitzva actually had the shafer kula b'starki b'start. That totally wasn't sitting on anything but the floor. And the Yassir Malara, the poor Rabbi Yochanan, is now completely wiped out. So Rabbi Yochanan is sitting on the floor. Now Rabbi Yochanan was very old at this point. He was Gavra Sabahavi. And he was so old that his eyelashes had overgrown his eyes. And he couldn't really see unless someone actually pulled up his eyebrows. So Misarche Gvine. So Malu, so he told the Talmidim, Dalu Le Einai. He had this silver, little silver eyebrow comb that they used to lift up. He wanted to look at something. So he asked them, I want to see this guy. I mean, he's amazing. So he had this little eyebrow comb made out of silver. And he saw that Rav Kahana had either a cleft palate or he had an accident with his lips that had torn his lips. It made it look like he was smiling. And so he thought that Rav Kahana was laughing at him. Cholash daite, the joker's mamash, yeah, exactly. Cholash daite, so he felt, this guy tears me to pieces and he laughs. So he felt horrible, and Rav Kahana dropped it. Another option. So lamachar, the next day, Rabbi Yochanan said to the rabbanah, you see what that mamzer did to me? Chazid l'bavlo, that's where they are above him. No midas, that is what he does. Hechi of it. Amrulaysa explained to him, no, he had an accident with his mouth, darkayach. So, oh my God, and I killed the guy. This is terrible. So olagabi ma'arata, he goes to the ma'ara where they had buried Rav Kahana the day before. So chazid avahadrele achna, there was this giant snake that was biting its own tail. It made a circle in front of the, to prevent Rabbi Yochanan from coming in. So he said, Achma, Achma, get out of here. Ptach, pumech, v'yikarei, sarav, it's a talmid. The Rav wants to walk in. Get out of the way. Lo patach. Oh, all right. Move out of the way. The chover should come into the chover, okay? No. Damn! Let the talmid come to the Rav! So at that point, the snake let him in. Okay. So patach. So he comes in. And boy, Rachmei davens that Rav Kahana should wake up. So Va'ukmei, Omar Leid, he apologizes. He says, "Yehava yadana the darke the marachi lo chosha daiti. I wouldn't have felt bad, and then you wouldn't have died. So please, you got to come back to the Beit Midrash. I mean, we need you." So Hashtu leite marba adam. Omar Leid, Rav Kahana said to him, "Look, if you can guarantee that I'm not going to drop dead again, I mean, this was no fun. I got to tell you." If you can use this opportunity to guarantee that I'm not gonna get into this again, I'll come to the Beis HaMidrash. If not, I'm not coming. Because, you know, once an hour of Nisim, I mean, you can wake me up once, it doesn't mean you can do it again. I mean, if you can't guarantee it, I'm going home. I'm not gonna go through this again. Because I know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, there's going to be issues. I'm going to ask you questions. You're going to get upset. And we can't go through this every day. So in the Mela, you got to tell me. So anyway, well, he couldn't really. But what happened was, Tyre and Ukme, he woke him up completely and made him back to fully alive. And then asked him everything he ever wanted to know, Rabbi Yochanan, and all these sfeikas from all the years that he had been learning. He answered him everything that he ever needed to know. And Haina Dama Rabbi Yochanan, that's why we find Rabbi Yochanan saying elsewhere. He had a common saying when he was speaking to Bnei Bavel, to Bnei Eretz Yisrael, Rashman. He used to say to them, Dilchon Amri, you know, I used to think Torah was yours. You're in Eretz Yisrael. Don't have all of his golas. Probably you're the guys who really know where it's at. But now I see that actually it's all comes from Bavel. Dilahoni, it's there. These guys, they Bavel. They're the ones who actually own the Torah. This is how Rashi learns. Others learn that on the contrary, the Talmidim, his Talmidim, were from Bavel. And when he was saying, Rav Kahana used to say to them that he was referring to various things that they had been makabah. So he says Dilahon means comes from the Nevi'im and the Harash Masgir that had been given over to you. And that's the pshat, that you went to Bavel in order to get that Mesirah. So there was a man who showed a goy this beautiful smoking jacket made out of silk, a rebava. So now Rebavu, Reb Chanina Bar Papi, and Reb Yitzchak Nafka were sitting in court, and Reb Eloy was there, and Rebava came to get the money, and they wanted to be mechayev him. On what basis? On the basis of the mission that said that a dayan, so as they viewed this as a din to Gadmi, that was similar to the din of a dayan who was danat ad-din, and it was mezakeh v'chayav, or was mechayev the zakat, timei ata tahor, tiyer ata tamei, ma sha'asa asui v'yishalei mebeto, it's his fault, he has to pay. He made a mistake and did. Okay, what did he do? All he did was say something. So you see, that you two, all you did was say something to the guy, but you're chayiv. So Rabbi Loi, who was sitting there, said, that's not a good raya. Well, Rabbi Loi, I thought Rav said that this is only where nasavanatan biyad. The only thing I remember chayiv you is if you actually picked it up and handed it over with your own hands. Remember, we had the case. We went through all the cases before on this, that if it was metame, it's and the judge said, well, you think it's Torah? I'll show you. And he thinks, sure, it's metame. And it was Ma'ariv Tyrus with other tyrants, he ended up being tame. He went through all the cases, but he didn't be a dai. So then they said, okay, one second. Ah, there's another raya. So then they said like this, that if this, you can't be b'chayev, we don't pass you din of the garmi, but you could go to Reb Shimon ben Eliyahu, Reb Elazar ben Pitat, and they pass you din of the garmi. So Ozer l'gabay, they went to him, the rabbi went to him, and chive, based on our mission, mimaknitin, im machmata gazlan, chayav labid lo sadeacher. And remember, how did we learn our mission? It's only talking about that you showed it. That was the case over here, you showed it. So based on that, and we said that was dina, originally when we asked for that, not knasa. So if that's the case, we're mechayev him over here also. There was a guy that had been given his beautiful silver becher to be a shamer on, and saliku ganvi aluye, ganovim are coming to attack him, and he says, whoops, I ain't waiting around. He takes the becher, puts it on the floor and runs. They could take it. So he goes ahead now, which, I mean, it seems to be that he's saving himself for the other guy's money. So he goes, instead of taking care of it, he gives it to them. Otelekaime de Rabba, and he pottered him. How could you potter him? He's a bematzalatzmo. Bemamon chavero. He was trying to get in trouble. They were coming to steal his stuff. And he throws this guy's becher to the wolves. Elam Ravashi, we have to analyze what the situation was. Chazina. Inish Amidu. If he himself is a rich man, obviously, then he's trying to turn them off the scent, thinking that they got his money and they took somebody else's money. So then he'd be chayef, because then Adaiti did they ought to, they were coming for him. But if he didn't have other money, so then he's obviously, it's the becher that's attracting the ganavim. So then he's able to give it to them because that's Adaiti the kaspat. He's not saving himself. There was another case where they had collected a lot of money to be paid at people from the goyim, gave it to a guy to keep the wallet with that money, and saliku ganvel, a bunch of muggers are coming, so he takes the wallet, throws it, and runs. Shakla yovani ale. So they came, they wanted him to make up for the money. Atul kami to Rava, and they said, hey, Rava said he's potter. Omle abaya, why is it this matzah chavero? He said, it is, but it's pidyon shvuyim. Hey, look at pidyon shvuyim, go to me, Zach. Rather, I'll use it for my pidyon shvuyim. I mean, that's what the money was collected for. Ahugava, the act in Va'asik Chamra, Lamavra, come and sleep in his Mavra. There was a guy who got his donkey, basically his donkey runs in front of the people, in front of the other people. He goes into a ferry boat, and this is before the passengers can even come in. So what happens is they take off, and the donkey starts acting up and moving from one side to the other, and the boat starts shaking, and they're taking on water, and the boy looked buoy. So the boat was going to sink. Atahu gavra malach le'lechamra. So a guy comes along, pushes the chamor into the water. Well, it's very interesting. Malach, Rashi gives a possibility, is malach, is the word for sailor. So one lashon of malach is that it means to push, but it could also mean sailed the chamor into the water, because anything that you do to get the boat to sail is part of the responsibility of the sailor. So he sailed that chamor all right into the water. Just that way the boat would now be okay. So that means that he pushed them over biyadai. So the guy sued him because the chamor died. V'tova otel kabi the rabba, and he said you're potter. Omalei abai, I give you potter. You're matzal atzmer mamama chaverak. You push somebody else's chamor in order to save your things. Omar, I mean, if you do that, you have to pay. Omalei, no. This chamor is a rodef. And if that's because it's because of the chamor that I mean the owner is responsible for allowing that chamor to be there, which was the whole cause of the problem in the boat in the first place. And because of that, you can now be matzil the nirdafim. So even though over here obviously the chamor, I mean it's the owner that we're talking about, so you're using the money of the owner here to save. This is Rabba Shita. Rabba Latayim, I'm a Rabba, a rodef that was rodef achachaverola horgo. And meanwhile, breaks things. Doesn't matter whose things he breaks. Because there's a kom lebed rabbin nation, so rodef can be shot at any moment. It's like the case of the baba machteret that we had before. If you break things on the way into the machteret, you're potter, because you're mitchayev benafsho. A nirdaf that broke kalim of the rodef is potter. Why? But of course, if it breaks other people's kalim, that would be matzil atzbo b'bomen acher. But if he breaks kalim of the rodef, I mean, it's a kal v'chomer. If he's allowed to shoot the guy through the head, Koshki is allowed to shoot his chamor. So therefore, since over here has a bit of a rodef, so he can save himself with the kalim of the rodef. Shelo yeh momono chaviv alav b'gufo. What does it say? His money has more value than his life. But avoshal kol adab chayav, if he saves himself using somebody else's kalim, then he would be chayav. Dosu matzil atzbo b'bomen chavero. Unless he pays over here, that would have been the case if we wouldn't have viewed it as a rodef. Saving yourself for somebody else's chamor, so pay him for the chamor. The rodef, shaya rodef achar rodef, lahatzil. Somebody now is chasing a rodef, and he's going to kill the rodef. And now the rodef can turn around and shoot him also, right? So he's rodef achar rodef, lahatzil. The shabar kelim. So over there, he's basically, he is a good Samaritan. So now, if the person who is being chased will use somebody else's money, he's chayav. But if a so-called good Samaritan, I hate that word, but you know the idea, we have good Samaritan laws. This is one of the, I've pointed out, these were early takanas in Klal Yisrael, good Samaritan laws. If you try to save somebody's life through CPR, your family doesn't sue you for murder, you know. So in this case, you're trying to save somebody else's life by, you're risking your life to save it. And on the way, you break. So your baby crashed in somebody else's car in order to save this guy. So now that person's going to sue you. And of course, the near death will say, well, I didn't tell you to waste money on me. So they made a takana for good Samaritans that you would be potter for causing damages, even if it was other people's kaling. Velomina did. It's not, you're right, that mitzvah halacha you don't have a right to. But if you don't make these Good Samaritan laws, there ain't nobody who's going to respond to an emergency just to get pickled himself. So over there, imiata omerken, ein l'chadam shematzilat chavero min harodef, would I just get into trouble? Now, so memela, we have to make takonas to prevent you from losing out when you're trying to do the right thing.